Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of the message we will hear this evening, a message entitled Key Pillars of the Christian Faith, Pastor Brian Grant introduced us to the first of five solas of the Reformation, five uncompromising features of faith that came to define the elemental differences between Protestants and the teachings of Rome. The first of these, which Pastor Grant will continue to speak on this evening, is Sola Scriptura, Latin for only Scripture, which holds the Holy Scriptures to be supreme and inviolate in all matters of faith, practice, and conduct, as opposed to the rule of tradition that had come upon the medieval church long untethered from God's Word. Again, it is our hope that a fresh examination of the roots of our faith, those great truths recovered in the Protestant Reformation that broke out 500 years ago, might encourage our listeners, Protestant and Catholic alike, challenging where necessary the basis upon which rests one's hope of reaching heaven's shore. What we believe really does matter. Here once again is Pastor Grant with the conclusion of his message, Key Pillars of the Christian Faith.
Beware of anyone or any group, whether they call themselves Christian or not, who have a book or writing which they have put alongside the Scripture. Sometimes as I was preparing this message, I said, we need another Reformation today. Because there are so many groups. I went to a church. I don't like to call the names of different denominations, but I went to this church, and the first half of the message was so wonderful, all from the Bible. And then the preacher put down the Bible, and he took up a book from a certain lady who some of you may know the lady's name. Her last name is White. He took up this lady's book, and then he preached another message. Part two was from the woman's book. The only problem, as I listened to the woman's book, some of what it said didn't agree with what this book said. Are you understanding the dilemma we have? We have all these books. One of the organizations, they had an advertisement on TV some years ago, and it said, the Bible is part one, but the book of is part two. Fill in the blank. Write for a free copy of part two of God's revelation, because you poor folks only got part one. But I'm here to say, I don't need part two. I've got the revelation of God in my hand. Amen. We got the whole deal. So in Revelation, at the end of Revelation, as he wraps up the writing, it's interesting that the Spirit of God says, cursed is anyone who adds a part two. Oh, come on now. Oh, I better not go there, because you may say I'm starting to meddle. But I tell you, my Bible tells me as it wraps up, says, cursed to anyone who adds anything to the writings of this book. Cursed be anyone who tries to take anything out. Four important things. Only the Bible is inspired by God. But point number two, only the Bible reveals God's path to salvation. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, we read, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. Only the Bible reveals the path to salvation. Without the Bible, we cannot know the path to salvation, because my Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Folks, please don't ever miss that. Don't ever think you can talk somebody into getting saved without the Word of God. The Word of God is foundational. Without the Bible, we cannot know the path to salvation. One of the reasons the medieval church lost the simplicity of salvation is because there was not much emphasis on Scripture. You might not even realize this. But did you know there was such a a low emphasis on the Bible that the cardinals, many of the cardinals, did not know the Bible. We were traveling in Europe, in France, Cheryl and I recently. You'll hear more about that next week as I tell the story about the papal palace in Avignon, France. But as we traveled there, my interest was piqued, and I did. It's interesting how God, while a message is on your heart, he puts situations that forces you to get more information. And as I studied, I could not believe it, that so many of the cardinals did not know anything about the Bible. The men at the top of the church. And then I found out that being a cardinal or a high-ranking official of the church made you a part of the elite in the society. You are a big person. And so these titles, these roles were given to people who were family members or for those who had business relationships. That's how many individuals assumed these high responsibilities, because knowing the Bible was not an important criteria. But I'm glad that we've got this book. I'm glad you don't have to depend on what one of the elders said or what the pastor has to say. Amen. I'm glad we have the path to salvation revealed to us in this holy book. And the path to salvation, I want to tell you, young person, older person, the path to salvation is very simple. John's Gospel chapter 3 gives the gospel in a nutshell. And John's Gospel chapter 3 verse 16 simply says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The gospel is simply this: God loves you and sent his Son to die for your sin and for my sin. God loves you. Loves you. Did you hear it? God is not some big police in heaven with a big baton waiting to hit you over your head every time you made a mistake. Because guess what? He knows you are born a sinner and that all you're going to do is sin. So you don't have to be afraid to come for salvation this morning. You don't have to be afraid and say, "Oh, you all don't know what I did." Guess what? God did. And the same God who know what you did done. The same God loved you and he sent Jesus to die just for you. I want you to know, if you were the only person in the entire world, Jesus Christ would have died just for your sin. And this morning the verse is for you. Whosoever believes, listen, if you will believe, if you will put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he will save you. You won't perish. You will leave here not having to fear if you're going to go to hell one day. You will leave here knowing for sure, amen, that I'm saved. Hallelujah. I'm saved. Listen, it can happen to you. Third, not only the Bible is inspired by God, not only the Bible reveals God's path to salvation, but only the Bible is the basis for Christian doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Only the Bible is the basis for Christian doctrine. Watch out for these guys and ladies with new revelations. See, people sometime under the anointing, and sometime they pause and say, I think I heard. Oh, yes, I... Here's what God is telling me. Watch out for new revelation. The Bible is the only basis for Christian doctrine. Anytime you see this church, one of the elders get up and they say, God told me to do something, and he don't tell you, this is some new doctrine the Bible tells me, and he can't give you a verse of scripture, reject it. Because only the Bible is the basis for Christian doctrine. Did you know that because we have all these other sources, do you know that in the Middle Ages, people had no assurance of heaven? For even if they lived a godly life, if they fell out with the church, if they had a falling out with the church could excommunicate them. And when you're excommunicated, you may not know this, but excommunication meant you were sentenced to hell for eternity. You could be the most godly person. If they decided to excommunicate you, you would be getting a one-way ticket to hell forever. Even today, there are people who don't have assurance of salvation. Some years ago, I was speaking to a young lady who said she was a Christian, and she said to me, because I told her that I knew for sure I was going to heaven, and she said, you are so presumptuous. You say, how can anybody know they're going to heaven before they die? The only way you can know for sure is to die and get there. I am like, I don't want that type of salvation. I don't want to have to wait till I get there, because then if I wake up, when I open my eyes, I'm not there. I'm in the other place. Are you with me? I want to know on this side of the grave where I am going. Amen.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Let me ask you, do you know where you're going? Come on now, come on. Do you know without the shadow of a doubt? Are you positive without the shadow of a doubt that if you die today, you would wake up in heaven? The good news is that it is possible to know for sure, because you see, the Bible, here's why the doctrine in the Bible says, Jesus himself in John's Gospel chapter 10 verse 27 to 29, he said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me, and I give unto them, somebody help me preach this, I give unto them what? Eternal life. Everlasting life. I give unto them everlasting eternal life, and help me now, they shall never perish. Amen. They shall never perish. And last night as I was preparing, I added this to my notes, because I don't want you to forget the next part, because the next part says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And as I was reading that in context of the fact that the church said they could excommunicate you and give you a one-way ticket to hell, I said, thank you, Jesus, that not even the Pope can pluck me out of his hand. Amen. No pastor can pluck me out of his hand. He has given me eternal life, and I can never perish. Do you have it? Do you have it? Are you sure you have eternal life? Oh, if you're not sure, listen. Thank God, because of the Reformation, this truth is available to you. I hope you're starting to realize, were it not for the Reformation, you would not know any of what I'm talking about. If it were not for the Reformation, we would not have the Bible. We would have no idea that we can have eternal security. We would have no idea of the path to salvation. Are you getting how important this Reformation was? Thank God. Sadly, many aspects of the church still holding on to the tradition of the church and have resisted. You know, of course, because of the Reformation, the Catholic Church launched an effort, a counter-reformation movement to counter the Reformation. And so sadly, there are so many who still have not recognized the power and the authority of the Word of God. But praise God, only the Bible is acceptable for doctrine. Make sure it comes from this. But fourth, only the Bible reliably trains us in righteous living. Did you get that? Talk to me. Let's go over them together. What was point number one? Only the Bible what? Is inspired by God. Say it with me. Only the Bible is inspired by God. Only the Bible reveals what? God's path to salvation. Third, only the Bible is the basis for Christian doctrine. Point number four, only the Bible reliably trains us in righteous living. Verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Did you see that? Thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible is the source of training in righteousness. No wonder the devil doesn't want us to read it. Are you realizing this? Because the Bible is the only reliable source of training in righteousness, the devil is doing everything he can to get you not to spend time reading it. People spend hours reading books about the Bible, but they won't have time to read the Bible. People will spend time reading books about how to be a better person. Are you one of those trying to be a better person? May I suggest to you the book that can reliably help you to be a better person? Only the Bible can reliably train us in righteousness. D.L. Moody said, the scriptures were not given for our information, but for our transformation. I hope you like that one. The scriptures were not given for our information, but for our transformation. If you really got serious about God's word, it would change your life. Amen. The Catholic Church taught that penance was the path to righteous living. Some of you know that because some of you were Catholics. Catholic Church taught that penance was the path to righteous living. Penance was punishment for sin. In those days, some were required to go barefoot. Others were required to renounce the world. Some were required to embrace a monastic lifestyle. Some of that was because of penance. This is the way to be righteous. But you know, in the Middle Ages, after a while, penance required much more. Let me quote from de Bourgogne. He says, in the 11th century, voluntary flagellations were added to penance. In Italy, nobles and peasants, didn't matter who you were, nobles, peasants, old and young, even children of 5 years of age, went in pairs by thousands and tens of thousands through the towns and villages, armed with scourges. They flogged each other without pity, crying and groaning so much that everyone who heard was in tears. The church believed that our sin deserved to be punished, and they were right. It's a pity that we're in a generation where even some who call the name of Christ feel they can sin and do whatever they want to. Sin deserves punishment, and God judges sin. But here's where the church was wrong. They missed the fact that although sin deserved to be punished,
that Jesus loved us so much, he took the punishment. The church was right in that sin made us deserve to be whipped. But they missed the fact that Jesus took my whipping. The church was right that because of sin, I deserved to die and go to hell. But they missed the fact that Jesus tasted death for me. Aren't you glad that Jesus paid it all? Aren't you glad that Jesus died for me, for you? But oh, even though we preach, evangelists will preach messages like this that let us recognize that Jesus paid it all. Sadly, there are still some who want to pay it themselves. There are some people who feel this idea of coming to Jesus and receiving him as Savior is too simple. I want something much more difficult. I want to earn the right for my salvation. Oh, but listen, God desires to have a relationship with you. He's not asking you to join a religion. I just want you to know that. Jesus is not asking you, God is not asking you to join a religion. He's inviting you to begin a relationship with him. You may ask, how does this happen? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. That, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God is not going to allow any of us to get to heaven and say, do you know what I did to get here? Everybody who gets to heaven will have gotten there the same way because of the finished work of Jesus Christ by faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. That's the only way to be saved. My friend, God gives you a choice today. You can choose to accept his free gift of salvation, or you can choose to pay for your sins. Over 50 years ago, I made my choice. I didn't want to go to hell. And I knew I couldn't pay for my sin. So I invited Jesus Christ to come into my heart, to cleanse me. I repented. I was going in one direction, and I decided to turn away from sin and to turn God's way and say, God, I don't want to go that way anymore. I want to go your way, and I need your cleansing and your forgiveness. I need your power. If I'm going to live this Christian life, I need your power. He cleansed me. He forgave me. And I'm so happy today. I can say, it's so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise. And oh, my friend, the promise today is, him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Will you come to him? Will you say, Lord Jesus, save me today.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today.
If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.